the privilege we've had in these years of going through this book, and as we now bring it to a conclusion, I pray that the lessons we've learned will impact and influence us in the days to come as men, women, and children of God. I pray that we would be wise, and I pray that we are wiser for having taken this journey. I pray you use tonight's study to minister to our minds and hearts, and we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I just recently heard a prominent believer say that unless fathers begin to take charge of spiritual leadership of their homes, the next generation is going to be a generation of godless spiritual invalids. Now, I would agree there's certainly the importance of a father taking the spiritual leadership of his home, but I'm not too sure that statement is totally accurate, because the truth is the Bible has a lot to say about mothers and the tremendous impact that a godly mother can make upon the succeeding generation. For example, when you look at Samuel, you look behind the scenes of his life, there's Hannah. When you look at Timothy, you look behind the scenes of his life, there's Eunice. When you look at Augustine, you look behind the scenes of his life, and there's Monica. And when you look at King Lemuel in Proverbs 31, you look behind the scenes and you find that he has a very godly mother. Now, we don't know a lot about Lemuel except what we learn about him in this chapter. We know from verse 1 that his mother taught him the oracles, and those oracles would indicate that she taught him structured, inspired words of God. The name that she gave to Lemuel, actually means to God. So apparently, even though Lemuel had become a king, and we're not sure just exactly where and when he was reigning, the fact remains it was his godly mother whom he credits for his godliness. And that, of course, is what you're going to see as we go through this 31st chapter, that a godly, wise mother can have a great impact on her son by her wise counsel and by her wise example. Now, when you come to the first verse that really, after the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him, and then you go down to verse 2, "What, O my son, and what, O my son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows," you'll notice that there is a repetition of that word, "what," three times that occurs in verse 2, and that indicates she's doing that because she's basically saying, "This is what I consider to be very important, son. Seeing that you're my son, seeing that you're the son of my womb, seeing that you're a son that was of my vows, that is, I dedicated you to the Lord, these are things that I consider to be very important for you to know." And what this mother does, basically, is she is, if I can take a little analyzing license here, is she gives her son some negative things. She basically says, "There are some negative warnings, son, that I want you to be aware of," and then she gives him a positive encouragement in the remainder of the chapter. So what we want to do is kind of go down through this tonight. Now, the first negative warning that is given here entails three main warnings. First of all, there's the warning that her mother gives him against women. Verse 3 says, do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. Now, that word for strength not only refers to physical immorality, which certainly is implied there, but it also refers to one's power, might, and military rank. This mother is warning this son against letting his defenses down and turning it over to a woman. Lemuel's mother believed that it was possible for a woman to destroy her son who was a king. And that word "destroy" that she uses there, or your ways to that which destroys kings, is a word that indicates that this mother believed it was possible for the wrong kind of woman to actually ruin and wipe out her son who was a king. So she challenges her son not to allow any woman to get the upper hand on him. Now, this type of teaching is quite remarkable because Lemuel's mother herself is a woman. And she apparently was a very godly woman, and she knew that a wonderful woman could greatly enhance her husband, or in this case her son, and obviously not ruin him. And apparently that's the kind of woman she was, because you're going to see that a little bit later on. This woman knew that a woman can completely destroy a man. She can wipe him out. She can wipe out his reputation. She can wipe out his ministry. She can wipe out his family. In this case, she believed he could actually wipe out his kingship, his kingly reign. So she warns him. She says, "Son, I want you to be aware of certain women." Now, the second warning is, "I want you to be aware of wine." verses 4 to 7. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink, lest they drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. Now the words wine and strong drink are words that appear twice in this context, verse 4 and verse 6, and they are two different Hebrew words. The particular word that's used here for wine refers to a fermented drink which primarily comes from grapes, and the word that's used for strong drink in Hebrew is a reference to a fermented drink which basically comes from barley, honey, or dates. We could understand it probably in our culture to mean wine is somewhat like our wine, pretty much like our wine, and strong drink is pretty much like our beer. It's the word drink that is critical, and you don't want to miss the word meaning here of that word. The word drink, which appears in verse 4, it appears again in verse 5, it also appears in verse 7, verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 5, is a word that refers to a party type of drinking. This type of drinking was particularly done at banquets, at various places of carousing. Dr. Walke said the word has the bent to it that this is the kind of drinking where you drink to get drunk, drinking to the point of intoxication. Now, there's no doubt that Lemuel and even his mother had something of somewhat of a wine cellar, because in verse 6, she says to her son, give strong drink to him who's perishing, which would indicate he had a little bit on hand that he was able to go down in the cellar and give to those who were perishing him. So Lemuel's mother is saying, I don't want you, son, to get caught up with a drinking crowd that gives themselves to carousing and getting drunk. And she gives him two reasons why it's not good for a king to be doing that. First of all, because when one becomes intoxicated, he disregards God's word. Verse 5 says, lest they drink and forget what is decreed. You forget about the decrees of God. If you get to a point where you are drinking to the point of being intoxicated, you can begin to forget about what the word of God says and what the word of God teaches. And you're not going to find people sitting in a bar overly concerned about what's the word of God say. You're not going to find people who are out boozing it up asking themselves, I wonder what God would have me do here. Because they are forgetting about the decrees of God. They could care less about the decrees of God, especially when they're in the state of becoming intoxicated. The second reason why she said, I don't want my son hanging with this kind of crowd, is because you'll disregard justice. Verse 5 says, and pervert the rights of all who are afflicted. Now, one who gets drunk perverts justice. What that means is one changes the standard of right and wrong. And you and I live at a time where we've got a great illustration of this. It seems that every now and then we learn of someone, some famous personality or some famous politician or someone who is famous in some respects who checks themselves into the Betty Ford Clinic because they have a drug or alcohol-related problem. Now, we know, according to the Word of God, that one of the responsibilities of government is to punish those who do wrong and reward those who do right. It's ironic to me that the people who have done the most to see to it that drunk drivers who maim and kill other people are adequately punished are not political leaders. They're mothers. Mothers who have had children killed by drunk drivers. They have stepped up to the plate and said, this is not good in society when you get a bunch of drunk drivers driving around killing other people. Now, I believe that one of the reasons why you didn't have politicians come up with this idea, for the most part, is because they can't discipline themselves not to do that. That is their lifestyle. And if they're going to start coming up with laws you can't drink if you're inebriated, then it's going to put some of them out of business. So it's mothers who've actually stepped up to the plate and say, look, our children are being killed out there by these drunk drivers. We need to have laws that protect that. And it's been the mothers behind that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that to me is exactly what she's talking about. She's talking about if you get caught up with the drinking crowd, you'll just forget about what's right and just. You'll forget about your responsibilities and doing what God would have you do. Lemuel's mother is no prude. She knew there was a place to have a glass of wine. She knew there was a place for strong drink. But it was not for kings who were reigning to be going out with a party crowd and going to bars and nightclubs and sitting there and getting drunk. And that's exactly what she's warning her son against. Son, you stay out of that environment. Don't you be around that type of crowd. You be a disciplined kind of king. And verses 6 and 7 tell us that there is a place for those drinks. As Dr. Sid Bazell said, they are acceptable as anesthetics or drugs to deaden physical pain or deep emotional bitterness. These were beverages of alcohol that Dr. Dean said did have a place in the providential economy of God. But a king who was caught up with the lifestyle of just going to places where everybody's drinking and partying, it was not fitting for him to do that. And so his mother is saying, you stay away from women and you stay away from the wine crowd. Which brings us to the third warning, and you stay away from injustice. Verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. I want to tell you, this mother is a, as you'll see, a woman of high society, but she sure doesn't act like it. This is a woman who cares about people, and she raised her son to care about people. Lemuel's mother taught him to care about those less fortunate than he was. She taught him to care for the needy. She wanted him to look out and care for those and defend those who were hurting and helpless. In fact, when that word dumb shows up in verse 8, open your mouth for the dumb, it means you speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. When they're in a situation and they have no ability whatsoever, then you plead their case. You keep your eye on those who are poor and needy. You watch out for them. Lemuel's mother taught him to be a champion defender of those who had needs. She taught him, you use your kingdom power to monitor the needy. And don't just use it for yourself, but use it for others, to try to help others. When they have needs, see if you can go to work on helping them with their needs. Lemuel's mom was the woman who taught her son, you be other-oriented, not self-oriented. So let me ask you mothers a question tonight. Are you teaching your children the same wise principles? Are you teaching your children to beware of women that can ruin them? Are you teaching them to the dangers of becoming a drunk or getting off into parties and running with that crowd? Are you teaching your children to look out for the needs of other people? Or are you waiting for your husband to do it? Don't wait for him to do it. You do it. This is a mother who took the lead here. And this mother's remembered for all eternity. She made an unforgettable impact on her son by teaching him these principles. So now, as we go down through this, not only did she teach him how to stay away from some things and how to avoid some things, but then she tells him, go out and find a good wife. And in verses 10 to 31, she not only wanted him to go out and find a good wife, I'm convinced she wanted him to memorize verses 10 to 31, and I'll tell you why I say that. If you could see this in Hebrew, verses 10 to 31, this is an acrostic poem. And what that means is this. Every one of these 22 verses begins with a consecutive letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 10 starts with Aleph. Verse 11, Beth. Verse 12, Gamil. Verse 13, Daleth. Verse 14, He. And you can go right on until you come to Tau in verse 31. In other words, all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are found in verses 10 to 31, which indicates this mother wanted Lemuel not only to know these things, she wanted him to memorize these things. Now, Lemuel probably did commit these to memory, and she wanted her son to find a capable wife and mother. And she tells him what to look for. She's the one teaching him this. Now, before we go on and actually look at what she taught him, I want to just bring four observations to your attention. First of all, the description of this woman came from another woman. Now, the reason I say that is this came from a mother. This is not teaching invented by men. So when we go down through this description, you're getting a mom teaching her son what to look for in a wife. Secondly, obviously becoming this type of woman is a possibility. I mean, it is possible for a woman to say, I'm gonna become wise, and maybe I need work in this area and some work in this area, but it's possible for a woman to go after these things and go after these qualities. Obviously, that's why they're in the Word of God, and the wise woman will take a serious look at them. Thirdly, the woman who does go after these qualities is going to be highly honored. If a woman says, I'm going to go to work on becoming this kind of woman, her family will honor her, but more significantly, as you'll see at the end of the chapter, God says, I'll honor her. When she gets before me, I'll honor her. And finally, young men who find this kind of woman need to grab her and get her in a hurry, because there aren't a whole lot of them out there. And if you spot one like this, this is the kind you want to go after and make your wife, because this is the wisdom of God teaching you. Now, there are 18 facts that Lemuel's mother taught him about the kind of woman he should look for. We're just going to go right straight down through them in the conclusion of this study tonight. First of all, he says this kind of woman is priceless. Verse 10 says, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. I want you to notice that the noun jewels is plural. What that would indicate is this woman is at such a majestic level that she is at an extreme wealth level. In other words, if you find this kind of woman, you have found a valuable person in the mind of God and in the sight of God. Secondly, she is trusted. Verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not have no lack of gain. The words no lack of gain are actually financial words. And that indicates that this woman will work as a partner with her husband to see to it that his financial interests are protected. She will not diminish her husband's possessions to the point where he lacks, but she'll do what she can to enhance his financial status. Now, obviously, Lemuel's mother would be concerned with her son, who's a king, that he find this kind of woman who doesn't just take everything he owns and take him to the bank and clean him out. She wanted him to look for this kind of woman who would be an enhancement to him. The third fact is she does good for her husband. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Notice carefully, she does good and not evil all the days of her life, not just for a few moments. Now, in the early days of a relationship, a woman can be supportive of her husband, but this kind of woman that is considered valuable is the kind of woman who does this for all of her life. And as Dr. Bazell said, she's never a liability to him. The fourth fact that's brought out about this woman is she willingly works. Verse 13 says, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. This woman actually looks for ways to help. She does not do this grudgingly or as a complainer. In fact, the text says she works with her hands in delight. And the idea is she is eager. That word work would indicate she's eager and delights in working and in helping. This is the type of woman who's a good partner. This is the kind of woman that's going to do what she can to try to help her husband succeed. The fifth fact is she creatively shops. Verse 14, she's like a merchant ship and she brings her food from afar. Now, she was very creative in meals. Now, I know what you're thinking. You think, well, this is a king. And so he just has access to, I mean, you know, money's no object here. But that's what you're about to see about this woman. She was very prudent. She's not a spendthrift who's just out there just spending everything because she wants to do it. She gave good meal preparation. She was like a merchant ship. She was always bringing something new and exciting to the table, always making it look nice. Now, Mary and I were discussing things one night, and she said, what are you going to remember about me when I'm dead? That's what she asked me. I said, well, a lot of things. But I said, I'll tell you one thing. The one thing that stands out to me is It doesn't matter if it's just her and I, if she's making just a lunch or dinner for her and I, it has to be on that plate and set there just right. I can't ever remember her saying, here's a plate of slop, go eat it. It's got to be there. It has to look good on that plate, not just be on that plate. It has to look good, and that's the way she wants to serve it. I said, that's something I'll always remember. It doesn't matter what we're having. It has to be nicely looking on that plate. It doesn't matter if anybody else sees. And I said, that's one of the things I'll remember about you when you're dead. She said, well, thanks. But it is. Bringing something to the table. That's what this woman did. The sixth fact is she ambitiously rises. Verse 15 says, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maiden. A valuable woman in God's sight does not lay around in bed all day. A valuable woman in God's sight gets up and gets going. She's anything but lazy and slothful. And there are two reasons why this woman gets up early. Notice verse 15. She gives her food to her household. She wants to make sure that before her family heads out, they've got a good breakfast in their bellies, and she probably packed them a lunch. And this is a king's mother who could have had servants that could have done all this. She did it herself. And she tells her son, you find a woman who will do it herself. And then secondly, she prepares assignments. Verse 15 says, and portions to her maidens. So she saw to it that she had all the day ready to go, not only for her family, but for anybody that was connected to her home. This woman not only prepared food, she obviously thought through what needed to be done for the day, and she got at her work and took care of her responsibilities. The seventh fact is, she's intelligently industrious. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it from her earnings. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. She plants a vineyard. Now, this is a God-fearing woman who obviously is not some silly, irrational woman. This is a smart woman who buys a field, works the field, sells the products of the field, and then produces things for the home. What you have described here is a woman who takes whatever land, she gets a garden going, she works that garden, she grows the food, she uses the food, and she sells some of the produce. Now, it was extremely rare to find a woman back in Lemuel's day who would or could do this kind of thing, and it would have been much more even of a man's world than it is in our day, back in the day that she lived. But Lemuel's mom says, you find a woman like that. Find a woman who's got some industry to her, who is not a slacker, who'll get up and get things done. The eighth fact is she strengthens herself. Verse 17 says, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Now, there are two different Hebrew words here. This doesn't mean she goes to the gym and lifts weight and pumps iron. The Hebrew words have a different slant to them. The first word, strength, in this verse carries with it the idea of fortified in a majestic manner. It seems to be more of a physical nature. She does what she can to keep herself looking physically nice. The second thing, word strong, has more to do with her mental and spiritual side. This woman keeps herself strong mentally and spiritually. In other words, this was a woman who did what she could to keep herself looking decent physically and mentally and spiritually. She wanted to be fit and strong. She kept herself energetic because she wanted to be this woman of God. Lemuel's mom says, you find a woman like that. The ninth fact is she continually evaluates. Verse 18, she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. Now what's described here is a woman who is never content. But she's describing a woman here who's always analyzing what she's doing to sense whether or not it has a good level. The tenth fact is she personally works. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. Now these are words that describe she was obviously able to make clothing or make material, make things out of material. That's one of the things that she did. This woman is no prima donna. This woman, this mother of this king, was a working woman who worked hard to make things nice. The 11th fact is she generously ministers. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. This is a woman who feared the Lord, and she taught her son to help those that were poor and needy. She did the same thing. And a God-honoring woman is like that. She's generous and giving. She's not stingy. Stingy, self-oriented women never are going to be pleasing to the Lord, and they're a dime a dozen. The 12th fact is she adequately provides, verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now this was a woman who took good care of her family. She anticipated what they would need for winter clothing to stay warm, and she probably made it herself. In Palestine, it would only snow every 2 or 3 years, but when it didn't last too long. But there were times when that temperature would drop. She never had any fear for that because she knew that her family was cared for. The 13th fact is she attractively decorates. Verse 22, she makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. This woman took some of the money she earned and she decorated her home and also herself. And back in the days of King Lemuel, fine linen and purple would have been on the expensive side. However, she's not condemned for this. She's commended for this. Why? For two reasons. Number one, her priorities were right. This was a woman who got nice things for her house, and then after she took care of her family and she looked out for the welfare of the needy, she did have nice things for the home. Secondly, her money was self-earned. This woman worked hard. She took care of needy people with the money she earned herself, and then she also used some of the money to buy nice things for herself and for the home. The 14th fact is she spiritually promotes. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, when it comes to spiritual things, there are two types of women, those that keep their husbands from devoting a lot of time to spiritual things, and then those who promote their husbands to devote a lot of time to spiritual things. This was the kind of woman who actually promoted her husband. You go down there with the elders and you be a leader in the things of the Lord. You learn the Word of God so you can help others understand the Scriptures as well. So this woman actually enhanced her husband's spiritual leadership. And obviously her husband is a very spiritual man, and he was a very smart man because he married this woman. And the verse 23 lets us know that this man was highly honored as an important spiritual leader. And there's no question that behind any man that's investing time for the Lord, there is a woman who's behind him and not nagging him and helping him invest that time for the Lord. And that's exactly what's brought out here. Now, the 15th fact is she ambitiously markets. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. So this was a woman who made things and then she would sell them to help encourage or help the financial needs of the home. By virtue of the fact it says in verse 24, she made linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. She made quality things. So she didn't make sloppy stuff. When this woman took her wares to the market, people wanted to buy them because she took her time and she made good things. The 16th fact is she anticipates the future. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. Now look at verse 25, and she smiles at the future. This kind of woman who loves God and who develops these qualities has a great future in store. And the day she gets before the Lord will be the happiest day of her life. She doesn't fear the future because she knows her life lines up with the Word of God. She's guaranteed to finish a winner. This woman did everything she could, humanly possible, to prepare herself for the future, and she could look at the future and not fear it at all because she knew physically and eternally she had acted as a woman of God. The 17th fact is she wisely speaks. Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This was no religious recluse and this was not a gossipy woman. This kind of woman controlled her speech. She promoted and used the wisdom of God and she did it with kindness, wisdom and kindness. Her husband never had to worry about her opening up her big mouth and saying something foolish that would get him in trouble as one of the leaders. He knew he had a wife he could trust who could keep her mouth shut. He knew that he had a wife that was a wise wife who would walk on a path of wisdom and be kind. Now, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, there are some women who don't say a kind word about anyone. And the only thing they'll say about someone is if it's negative and if it's gossip and if it's putting somebody down. Lemuel's mom tells him, don't find a woman like that. Find a woman that is a kind-speaking, kind-hearted woman who speaks kindly and not gossipy about other people. The 18th fact is she carefully manages, verse 27, she looks well into the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. This woman took good care of the house and those that were in it. As a result, there are five marvelous results for this kind of woman. Her children honor her, verse 28. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband honors her, verse 28. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Society honors her. This woman stands out above all the other women because she's honored above all the other daughters. And notice verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. God will honor her for her faithfulness in developing these qualities. And finally, verse 31, give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Her rewards will honor her. So the woman who says, I'm going to pursue these wise traits, will discover that one day she'll be honored forever in eternity by the Lord. What motivates a woman to do that? What motivates a woman to actually say, I want to become this kind of wise woman? Well, the answer to that is in verse 30. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. We're right back to where the book started. Do you remember where the beginning of wisdom is? Fear of the Lord. Where does this whole book end? Fear of the Lord. And you see, in between is the study of men, women, and children who fear the Lord and who don't. The path of a fool versus the path of one wise. But you purpose to fear the Lord, apply those things we've seen in these 134 studies, and you will be classified as a wise man, woman, or child of God. Well, it's been a privilege to take you through this book, and we did it. 134 simple studies. We went through the book of Proverbs.